Oh, that's right. It's Thursday afternoon, 4:07 in the afternoon. How you doing today? Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I have a real treat for you. If you've wondered what the Greenwood County Community Foundation does, I have Mark Casper with us here today. He's the executive director, comes to us from Broward County, Florida, escaped the heat there to come up here, and has been doing good things for our community, helping craft a brand new foundation that he's been here for 18 months. So how you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great, Ann. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Now, let's see. It says that you are a native of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. It's a small town.
Oh, it's a town of about 12,000 people, but very much like Greenwood, it was a cotton mill town, and when the cotton mills pulled out of Roanoke Rapids, it didn't survive quite as well as Greenwood has. So I think Greenwood's got a lot going for it.
We've been fortunate to have diversity come in, like Fuji and some of these others that made a big difference.
That's made a huge difference. We're very lucky.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit now. You went to North Carolina, NC State, and then you got a master's from Duke. But when you were growing up, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, there's a lingering architect.
A lingering architect.
I think if I ever went back to school, it would be for architectural design. I was one of those kids who sat around drawing house plans and that kind of thing all the time.
Wow. Well, I guess that's how come you kind of got into the real estate referral business. Now, you had the luxury of being able to retire at 45. How did that come about? I mean, it's kind of a fascinating story.
I started selling real estate and paid a couple referral fees and decided I needed to be on the receiving end of referral fees instead of paying them. And so I started in, I guess it was 1991, an internet-based real estate referral company. Now, Al Gore and I were the only ones who knew anything about the internet at that point in time, so it was ground floor. And it mushroomed into a network of about 550 agents nationwide, and we were all making referrals back and forth over the internet. So it was very profitable and did allow me to kind of take life easy for a while in Florida.
But what happened? I mean, I would think if you'd been in that fast-paced type of business and retiring at 45, that probably would be tough.
Well,
from the standpoint of being a working person.
Age 45 to retire sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But it doesn't sound like it suits my lifestyle. I enjoyed Florida. I love the weather, love the people. But I guess I'm just one of those people with an entrepreneurial spirit and really wanted to go back to work. I needed consistency for every day of my life and something to get up for.
So what'd you do?
So I went, I started with the Community Foundation of Broward, which is now about $140 million community foundation, much like I was called here to start. And we make grants to local nonprofits and try to shape the nonprofit's work in the community and strengthen that work. And so my job basically was to work with attorneys, accountants, and stockbrokers because they were the ones who could identify charitable clients who had tax needs or whatever and could therefore benefit from the services of the community foundation.
Sure. And then what happened?
I decided it was time to come home to the South. And as probably everybody out there listening knows, Florida's south of here, but not necessarily part of the South. And this
job, there's a lot of Yankees living down there in Florida.
Yeah, there are. And so when this opportunity opened up, I looked back over my career and decided that the most fun I'd ever had working was starting that company back around 1990. And I saw this opportunity with the Greenwood County Community Foundation as the same exciting entrepreneurial startup situation. And saw it as an opportunity to create some good at the same time and decided this is where I needed to be. And it has been an incredible amount of fun, very rewarding, and mainly because Greenwood is such a great place. People are very generous and caring.
You know, I've always said that I thought that the reason that Greenwood has been able to weather some of the storms is because when there's a true need in our community, people get together and give. you know, whatever it takes to help somebody else. And I've often tried to figure out why, because I've lived in other communities like you have, and one of the things that actually came down to in my mind was the fact that we had such great mill villages here, where the sense of community was very strong when the mills were really big, and I think it's just carried forth in everybody's being.
I agree with you completely, Anne. One of the things that happened when I was interviewing, Sam Talbert was taking me around and showing me all the great, he's our board chair, he was showing me all the great things that had taken place, the downtown redevelopment and all of those things. And every time we would be introduced to a new positive aspect of the community, I would say, how did that happen? Who took the leadership on it? And his response was always the same. Well, so-and-so believed in that as a project. And so he got together a bunch of his friends and buddies and coworkers, and they just decided to take it on as their initiative. Never was it the same group of people, groups that overlapped, but certainly people who had a passion for a cause and then just set out to make it happen through the generosity of Greenwoodians.
Sure. I think you can actually look at the soup kitchen as one of the original starters of that type of thing. That was something that the church did, and then it became the soup kitchen unto itself. I mean, I just think there was a lot, and today we have all types of volunteers. I'm using the soup kitchen because I know the soup kitchen and I know the history behind it. So I think that was one that started church-based, that expanded to become an independent organization unto itself.
Yes, just shows an awful lot of caring people in this community. And, you know, the United Center with all of the organizations that are housed there is another example of that, one being the soup kitchen. That's why it comes to mind. But there's so many people here in this town who are willing to reach out and really want to make a difference. And I think that esprit de corps, or whatever you want to call it, is exactly why Greenwood has weathered the storms that it's had and why it will continue to thrive in the future.
You know, I also think the retirees that come to here from outside the area come here and they're looking for something to do and they get involved, whether it's helping as at Lander or helping in the different organizations, they get involved in help, and that makes a difference too.
It makes a difference, and it makes a difference on two levels. Number one, they bring their expertise to our area, and if they have the initiative and financial means to retire to this area, they've been pretty successful probably where they were, and they bring those talents and skills to this area, and they need an outlet for them. And the second component there that makes that work is because I think that Greenwood is an open community. They are willing to look at the resources that those from outside bring, and that's a really big benefit to our community also.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking about the Greenwood County Community Foundation, what it's all about, how you may be interested in being involved in this. You may have something that you'd like to see. We're also going to be talking about some of the organizations that have benefited already by the Greenwood County Community Foundation. We're here with Mark Casper here today. He is the first president and CEO to us here. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you've got a question for Mark, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Our guest today is Mark Casper, who is the executive director of the Greenwood County Community Foundation. Now, Mark, how did this foundation come to be? I know you're the first president, CEO, but it actually started before you got here.
It did. And actually, by the time I got here, the foundation was pretty much on a very solid footing. there are about 700 community foundations in the United States and 15 in the state of Florida. In the state of South Carolina. And there was a gentleman who had seen what community foundations had done in other areas and said, gosh, Greenwood needs one of those. And so this forward-thinking gentleman orchestrated a $2.5 million gift for the community foundation to start up. When I got here, what we did was put a portion of that to partially underwrite our operating expenses for the first 5 years, and the rest of it we're making our grants from. But it's just a tremendous way to begin a community foundation. I've gone to national conferences, and other people have said, gosh, I can't believe that Greenwood started out so solidly with their community foundation.
Well, that's very fortunate. That is very, very fortunate. And we do have some great people in this community who look at things. And I've been forward thinking, which is part of the reason I think that when you look at, we talk about cotton mills or mill villages and this type of thing, that we are in better shape than a lot of communities who relied solely on the mill situation.
Absolutely. And I think that that's always going to be a benefit to Greenwood, that and the lake and all the things that will continue to bring new people here with new talents and new thoughts and ideas.
So you formed this, and it was a group of people that thought about this. I know Sam Talbert was on this, and they came together and they formed this, got it going. You have come in, but what is the premise now? Because we have United Way, and then we have the foundation. Now, are they competing, or how does this work?
No, not at all. They're very much compatible organizations. And the easiest way to think about us and contrast what community foundation work is against United Way work is this way. I guess all of your listeners out there, every one of them probably has a checkbook to run their household.
Just a debit card, I think, now.
Yeah, right. I said something to my nephew about that, and he said, no, I don't think I've written but 4 or 5 checks in my life. But most of us of our age, Anne, have checkbooks to run our households, and we also have retirement accounts. And every community needs similar organizations and structures also. And so the United Way operates very much like the checkbook of the community. They take their money in through their annual campaign, and they make their grants out annually, pretty much the way you run your checkbook month to month. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, community foundations operate more like the retirement or investment account of the community. Mm-hmm. And so they're larger sums of gifts in, and predominantly we hold those gifts for endowment purposes, that is, hold the corpus and make our grants off of the income from those gifts and that the community has given unto us.
So there isn't. Now, do you go in and validate a nonprofit the way I know United Way has a board that goes in and checks everything out? Do you do the same thing with the organizations you work with?
Yes, during our granting cycle, and we have 4 focus areas, during each of those we request that the organizations will make grant applications to us. And then as soon as we get those in, one of the things that we require is looking at their budgets, looking at their history, looking at the work they've accomplished to this point, making sure that we do due diligence with regard to their 501c3 tax status and the charitable nature of their work. All of that before we would even consider a grant from these organizations. So all of that is really preliminary towards before our writing the checks and evaluating the particular projects that they put before us.
Now, you just actually finished a grant cycle, I think. July 31st was the date that organizations had the opportunity to put in for things?
I wish deadlines were always like that, Anne, but they're not.
Well, that's what it says.
It says August the 31st, and Joanne and I told that is
July 31st, right?
July 31st.
Right.
And Joanne, who works in our office, particularly with the grants program, and I have both been telling people all week, but as long as it's there Thursday morning when we come to the office, and several of them were today. Yes, we have just completed receiving grants for the focus area that we call community enhancement. That's what some people would think of as some of the softer causes in the community. That's
such as?
Parks and recreation, arts and culture. So you'll see As we make these grants in the next couple months, you'll see some things that maybe had not been able to receive grants before, because there hadn't been a venue for these softer causes. But they're things that really do add value to our community and make the whole county more livable and enriching for its citizenry.
We had Chris Burris of Beyond Abuse on yesterday, and she was real excited because y'all had given them a $500 grant for Healing Arts to have an art program, and she told us about it yesterday. So she was quite excited about that.
The program that Chris and her organization, the grant that Chris and her organization received from us, was under a different program, not our regular quarterly granting cycle program, but rather another thing that we're really excited about. One of the things that community foundations do in addition to granting is help the organizations in their mission, help them in fundraising, help them in board development, help them actually to build capacity so that they're able to operate more effectively in the community. And what we did that Chris was able to get a grant from was called greenwoodgives.org. Really simple, easy to remember website, greenwoodgives.org. There are about 26 local projects posted there. Do we give any money to those projects? Not really. But what we did was created this platform or format for individual organizations to post their projects, and then people in the community can come there and contribute online to a variety of very small projects, but very important projects in our community.
I guess that means that you could do small amounts of money then, too, like $10, $20, $50. Would that be correct?
We've only run this program about 3 or 4 months, but it's really going to be interesting to see what size the contributions are. I think if I had to guess right now, the average would probably be about $25, which really means that just about anybody in our community can participate and feel like they're a part of accomplishing some real good on a real grassroots level for Greenwood.
So that's actually another part of the foundation?
Yes.
Yes, so...
And like I said, we don't put any money of our own, in essence, to this program.
Administrate it, maybe?
We do the administration. Every penny that someone contributes goes directly to that organization. We do not take anything off the top. We decided that we wanted to invest in this project, and so we underwrote all of the cost of the website development. We're underwriting all of the cost of financing the gift portion, because all of those have transaction fees and such associated with them. It's what we think we want to do to help these individuals, organizations, obtain funding for some of the smaller projects that they might not have even known they were going to participate in when they set their budgets last year. Something might come up that they feel is really important for the community, and now this gives them a way to raise that money from the community. So like I said, I think we've had 25 projects up and we've funded 10 of them, and that's at greenwoodgives.org.
Greenwoodgives.org. So you need to check that one out if you've got like to see some good things happen in the community. The one that Chris and I were talking about yesterday was Healing Arts. It actually is a paint and learning life skills, coping skills through this program, which sounded very interesting. There's lots of good things that we're going to be talking about. There's a lot of good things that you can do. Of course, Mark would like to talk to anybody that has a sizable estate planning, that maybe has some tax issues, that they would like to be able to find a place to park some money. That would be a very good thing, wouldn't it, Mark?
It would be great. And that's really what our funds are about. We have, of course, the foundation's money, which people often give unrestricted gifts towards, but the other thing that we do is people can create individual named funds at our foundation. I don't know whether the public out there knows it or not, but it takes about $8 million for an individual to start a private foundation. I don't know about you, Ann, but I don't have $8 million sitting around to start a private foundation. But our funds operate the same way a private foundation would. You can have it in your family name, and you can do
The Talberts did that.
Yes, it was for actually Margo's mom. Her mother passed away, Margo and Sam decided they wanted to create a legacy honoring their parents, Margo's parents' lives, and so they created the Watson Fund. It's a donor-advised fund, and so every so often, Sam and Margo can make a recommendation of a grant from their fund, and they've done something that's really neat with that, and they have... They've created it in a way so that when they, when Sam and Margo are not here anymore, that their children will be able to recommend grants from it. And so it, it passes that thing that we've been talking about, community philanthropy, down to the next generation. So it's really exciting. We say what we do at the Community Foundation is custom philanthropic planning. So if anyone is out there and is interested, then... we try not to fit our donors into any boxes, but to allow them to dream about what their philanthropy can do. And our tagline is, what do you want to do for your community? How can we help you make that happen? And that's genuinely what we're about.
That sounds terrific. We're going to talk more about that. We've got a lot of other things to talk about here. We are talking with Mark Casper with the Greenwood County Community Foundation. I'm Ann Eller. Right now, we're going to join South Carolina News, already in progress. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help. From McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. Right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. You know, we are talking with Mark Casper with the Greenwood County Community Foundation. You know, you've had a lot of good people involved with you on this. Linda Dolney and the Talberts and Floyd and Mamie Nicholson even are involved, aren't they?
Yes, and I'll tell you what, Ann, it's still a mystery to me who put together our board of directors initially. Nobody wants to take credit for it. It's a great board. It's community leaders and a wide-ranging group of people who did a great job of setting a foundation up before I got on board.
Sure. So one of the things I want to talk about is you said you have four different granting types of grants. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. When I came here, we set up the year in four granting cycles. Some community foundations will do no granting cycles, just rolling grants throughout the year. And I wanted a little more focused than that. And so we decided the four areas that we wanted to highlight in our first few years, certainly, would be youth and education. So we make our youth and education grants during the first quarter of each year. The second quarter is innovations. That's a larger grant than our other three areas, and it's for a program that is non-existent in Greenwood. We're trying to get people to think outside of the box as to how to make Greenwood an even greater place to live. And then during the third quarter, those that we received as late as this morning is for community enhancement, as I indicated. The fourth quarter of each year, we receive grants, what we call open granting. A lot of what those grants are, it's turned out to be health and human services and that kind of thing. But that's really for any of the organizations that don't fit within those other three categories. We wanted to make sure no organization was left out from the possibility of receiving a grant from us.
Now, also, most of these grants are $5,000 or less?
As a new foundation, we decided that we wanted to reach a lot of organizations, get our name out there to a lot of their constituencies, and so we decided, yes, that most of our grants for three out of the four areas, the maximum's $5,000, and they probably average around $3,000. During the innovation cycle, we decided that $5,000 for a new or innovative program would not really be a lot, and so we decided that we would take about $25,000 a year for the innovation cycle, and that we could make multi-year grants out of that. We could make one single grant out of that. We could make multiple grants out of that. And so that was kind of an interesting situation. We just went through that for the first time this year. And
you gave a large chunk, shall we say, what was it, $30,000 to one organization?
Yes, Greenwood Pathway House, and I'll tell you a little more about that in a second, is a new organization in town. We had four applications for innovations, new programs that had not been in existence before, and we decided we could fund one in one way and one in another way, and so we wanted to focus all of our innovations money with Greenwood Pathway House, and we awarded them a $30,000 grant. It's to get a program off the ground called Furnishing the Future. Greenwood Pathway House is a new nonprofit in town, relatively new, and they work with the homeless male population, and they want to get these people back on their feet. They want to create some sustainability in their lives. And so the Furnishing the Future program that we're helping them roll out is a program where men learn the skills of repairing, restoring, refinishing furniture. And I'm told that that's a great need in this community. Every time I've mentioned this program to someone, they've said, oh, great, I've got two or three pieces of furniture that need refinishing. So I think it's going to be a win-win for everybody. It teaches these men a skill that they could either take to the workplace, and if there were not jobs available, you know, they could go to Lowe's and pick up a can of refinishing materials and steel wool and actually independently and entrepreneurially create an existence for themselves. So we're very excited about it.
Now, where does this actually take place?
The Greenwood Pathway House is currently housed in the rear portion of the Abney Memorial Baptist Church property, and the organization is moving forward to purchase the entire property. They have some great plans in store for not just the Furnishing the Future project, but with education, getting these people back on their feet, making them true breadwinners in their households, and it's a whole array of services and benefits that they are hoping to provide over the next few years. And I think they're wisely doing it step by step by step.
You know, that is interesting. How do we come up with the idea of furniture refinishing? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that one could be trained for. How did we come up with furniture refinishing? I mean, that's just an interesting avocation.
We have some great woodworkers in this town.
We do, yeah.
Yes, we really do. I know when I moved into the United Center, for those out there that may be listening that don't know what that is, it's the old Blake School that has been turned into a center with the soup kitchen and the food bank and the United Way offices and the Hispanic clinic. And when I came to town, I was offered a rental spot as an old open classroom, no walls or anything. And Jack Parham said, well, I'll put you up some walls if you want, you know, Jack. And
right.
Another case of, you know, the community feels the need and they find a way to fill the need. And so now we have a great three-office conference room suite, and it was the courtesy of the woodworkers here. And so I think that, back to your question, I'm long-winded sometimes, but back to answer your question, how did Furnishing a Future come about? I think that that woodworking group, which has been involved in so many projects in our community, I think one of the things they decided was we have a skill that we can teach to others, and that this is something that can help them to get back on their feet. And so it was kind of like a natural marriage, if you will, for bringing those two groups together.
That's cool. I mean, it's very cool. It's just kind of a different, you know, of things you would think of. You might not think of woodworking would be a program that one would teach, but I think it's great. So here we are. We're at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. We are talking with Mark Casper. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call to 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back. We're going to talk about maybe you may think that setting up your being part of this foundation, what to do with some of your financial assets may be way out of bounds for you. But I just learned it doesn't take that much money. I'm not giving you any money today, Mark, but it doesn't take that much money. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Lay away. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know lay away every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller. You know, one of the things that Jeff works with people trying to decide when they have things that they want to sell or whatever, starting to do some estate planning and this type of thing. So we are kind of familiar with people trying to make those decisions on what to do. But what can somebody do? You know, you were telling me a very interesting story about a man who always gave to a lot of different organizations, and he didn't really understand. Just give us a little cue us in on that story, and I think that's really great.
We had a gentleman come in, and he said, you know, I've given to these 25 organizations my entire life, and he said, the Community Foundation's new in town, and I think y'all are doing great work. I love the organizations you're granting to. You can see from my list that I have the same interest that the Community Foundation has. And he said, but I want you to know, because I've been given to these 25 organizations, I really don't have a lot left over to give to the Community Foundation. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, I think you're just the kind of donor that the Community Foundation loves, because you've been strategic in your giving, you've been caring in your giving, you've been consistent in your giving. I said, so, you know, what I'd like for you to think about doing is remembering the foundation in your estate plan so that we can continue that tradition of philanthropy on your behalf. And he kind of shook his head and said, well, I can't do that. I've got children to look after, because we all want to take care of our loved ones.
Sure.
And I said, great. I said, how many kids have you got? And he said, 3. And I said, think about the community as your fourth child. Think about Greenwood and the county as the place that has helped you raise those children. It's this community that has helped your children become the successful people that they are. And you can continue to give to those 25 organizations, or to be as creative or as open as you want, by creating a fund which will continue to do exactly the same things that you've been doing in your lifetime forever. Because that's what Community Foundation work is about. It's about for good forever.
So I guess he came back and thought about it and saw what you were talking about, and has made plans to work with y'all.
We've had about 8 people so far who have included us in their estate plans, and I cannot tell you how surprising that is to me. For someone to actually make the effort, go to their attorney, change their will, and include a relatively new organization in their estate plans is just tremendous. And I think it goes back to the stability of the individuals who were on the founding board, their trusted names. And I think it's the fact that we started off on such a solid footing that people know that we will be here forever and that we will steward their philanthropic desires after they're gone.
Now, it doesn't have to be just things that are set up for Greenwood.
No, interestingly enough, I think the most fund grants that we've made have been national and international. I think you will always see our unrestricted and field of interest funds, that is those 4 categories I was talking about earlier, those will always, always, always go to Greenwood County organizations. So unrestricted gifts will always remain right here to benefit our own local people. But these donor advised funds that I was talking about earlier, that, for example, you said the Talbert set up in memory of her
parents.
That's a donor advised funds, and our donor advised funds have made a variety of pretty exciting grants. Some of them have been local, quite a number of them have been local, but some of them have been statewide. We had a donor who's a big hunter and fisherman, and he made a grant to the South Carolina Waterfowl Group. Another has seen the wonderful things that Project Host in Greenville has done to train restaurant workers who need life skills training and get them back on their feet. And so they made a grant out of their donor advised fund to that. Another one took a trip to Key West, Florida, and really fell in love with the Sea Turtle Project down there in the Keys. And so he came back and he said, I've got to send them a grant. I think they're doing great work down there. I think probably my favorite far-flung grant was for mushroom farming in Laos.
That sounds a little out there. Come on now, Mark. What's the deal on that one?
It really is a program that I kind of felt the way you did when the individual said, I'd like to make a grant to the mushroom farming in Laos. And I'm thinking, well, some of us are children of the 60s, but what is this with mushroom farming? And he had discovered, actually he and his daughter together discovered this program and said, wow, this is really something. Individual farmers, before our days of commercial farming and corporate farming, we remember what it was like to have family-owned farms. And this is a program where Laotians are trained in how to grow mushrooms and how to create, in their own entrepreneurial spirit, their own sustainable local farms. And I think actually it's even funnier than just mushroom farming in Laos. We actually bought the motorcycle so they could transport the mushrooms to market.
I like it. Yeah, that's a terrific story. There's lots of good stories. But now my next question is, so how much money does it take to start one of these? If you are looking at your financial planning for your estate and everything, how much money does it take, Mark?
Gosh, Ann, I'm so glad you asked that, because too often people think that community foundations are for the wealthy. And we have received, not at Greenwood yet, but we in Florida received multi-million-dollar gifts. But the nice thing about starting the foundation here at Greenwood is it doesn't take a lot of money. Our fund minimum is $20,000, but you remember I told you earlier about the gentleman and his farsightedness who helped us get the $2.5 million gift initially. He further orchestrated a $3 million in match money. So for every dollar that the Community Foundation takes in, there's match money sitting out there for us to increase our community endowment. And so if someone starts a fund with us, we will match their endowed dollars, 50 cents on the dollar. So for $14,000, someone could start a $21,000 fund, which would continue in perpetuity at the Community Foundation. So it's not. I mean, most all of us have certainly that much in our house or in our estate plans now, and we could certainly use that for the benefit of the community through a fund in your name.
Now, let me ask you something else. What do you do with all these funds?
Oh, interesting.
Yes,
the attorneys
is.
And accountants and stockbrokers ask, who has this money?
Exactly.
Because in the year and a half that I've been here, we've moved that $3.4 million up to over $3.5 million. And we're very proud of that growth. And a lot of that has been through gifts, but a lot of it, too, has also been through financial management. And actually, the financial managers that we use are with Park Sterling Bank Wealth Management here locally, and also with UBS out of Greenville. The reason we selected UBS is because I had worked with them in Florida, and UBS is one of the most philanthropically inclined financial institutions in the United States. And we really looked at all of the numbers of what they had done and the endowments that these organizations held, and we decided that these were the two organizations we wanted to go with.
So this money is invested, and they're responsible for maintaining?
It is invested, and one of the things that is an attraction for individuals in placing their charitable funds with the Community Foundation is, you know very well, if you even had $100,000 that for charitable purposes, you could only invest that $100,000 in a certain limited number of investment vehicles. Whereas if you put that $100,000 with our $3.5 million, then that allows for greater investment diversity and vehicles that you might not be able to use as an individual. And therefore, your investment returns theoretically should be greater. And therefore, your philanthropic funds would grow more quickly by adding them to ours in a way that would benefit the community.
Sure. So it's safe investment?
Community foundations have always, through ups and downs, we don't pay out. I'm not sure that maybe the public out there understands quite how endowments work, but suppose on the average there were earnings of 7%. Well, we know that that's not going to happen every year. Some years they're going to be less than that. So our endowment payout per year, our endowment distribution, is 4%. That allows for years of slower growth as well as that amount to be made up in years of greater growth.
So it's when you say it can go on for perpetuity, it can go on for perpetuity.
That's exactly what they're designed to do. All of our funds, not all of our funds, but our endowed funds are designed to last forever so that your name can be out there attached to doing good forever.
And they are all different ways that you can do it. What do you think, as far as, we're almost out of time, but what do you think for ones here in Greenwood have been some of the fun or the exciting, or you've said, wow, that's a great idea? What are some of them that would come to mind?
My favorite grant that we've made so far has been to the Museum and Railroad Center. And it's highlighted in our annual report, and people can call us up and get a copy of it. But it was to put the Greenwood Main Street map online. The school teachers had asked for this. They wanted a way to teach Greenwood history online. And so if you click on that map, it takes you to a history of each building up and down the street. And I just thought it was a great project because it was history so that the older generation would love it. It was technology so that the younger generation would love it. It was education because the teachers were asking for it. And I think it just showed a great creativeness. And I think that that's what the Community Foundation's about, creative ways to enhance our community.
That's terrific. Now, that actually starts this fall. Does it start?
Actually, that program is already online through the museum. If you go to the museum website, you can click on Greenwood History Online. It's fascinating. And actually, they're hoping to roll out a second section of Greenwood history in the next few months.
Wow. So these are some of the things that you can get involved with. It's the Greenwood County Community Foundation. Now, Mark, you have a website?
We do. It's greenwoodcf.org. That's for Greenwood Community Foundation, greenwoodcf.org.
Okay, so you can check it out there. Make sure you do check out some of these. You know, it is something we do have to think about. It is something that would be helpful to the community. You've already started on very strong footing, and I think it's exciting, and I really appreciate the fact that you came out here today, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, that's right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Don't forget the Greenwood County Community Foundation. Mark Casper has been our very special guest. That's going to do it for me. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 8:05, right here on WCRS. It's the I Love Ann Show. Bye-bye, everybody.